Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, scumbags. This is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts, Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
Just us.
It's just us two. So here's the thing, right? We had this idea. We're thinking, what day is it today? Is it Tuesday? It's Tuesday.
Tuesday the 5th of October, 2021.
So it's 2 days since we did the London Marathon.
Bombshell, I don't think we've mentioned it before.
Yeah, don't think we have. So what we thought we'd do is, right, obviously we want to talk about the marathon because we did the marathon. We like showing off about the fact we did the marathon. So we thought we'd do a little podcast where we just talk about having done the marathon. And if you're not interested in the marathon, you never have to listen to it. And even if you are interested in it, you never have to hear us talk about it again.
That's right. It was a big thing. It's like childbirth,
yes.
Getting married, getting divorced. It's one of these big things in life. It takes a lot of preparation.
Yes.
It's over quite quickly. And we're in the hungover phase, basically.
Yeah.
Like after a wedding going, did that actually happen? Did we actually do it? Yes, we did.
Yeah, and I found like the build up the last couple of days really, I think I wrote this in a post, but really like that bit of being pregnant when you're sort of getting near to your due date and you're sort of like, I sort of want this to happen and be over and I'm really excited and I can't wait, but also I'm worried about how much it's going to hurt and whether I'll shit myself. I mean, there's a lot of parallels there.
I think so. And you're wondering about scarring, will I need stitches, all the things.
Yeah.
All the things. And there's so much fucking preparation. It was a bit like preparing your hospital bag. I was like, right, sports bra, socks, lube, a lot of Vaseline went on my body on
so
Sunday.
Much. And not just for fun purposes, for once.
Yes, yeah. Exactly right. But you know, this whole marathon thing happened like 2-3 years ago because we got a random text from Bryony Gordon going, do you want to run the London Marathon? And we went, yes, we love attention. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
How hard could it be? And Bryony kept saying, well, I did it. You can do it. Go on. Bit running. And we have to say that we weren't natural runners beforehand.
No, I don't think. Before I had kids, I'd done a bit. I'd done the couch to 5K and all that. But I'd never done a race. I'd never even done a park run.
No. And I was incredibly good at sitting down and eating carbohydrates. And, you know, I was quite sedentary. Mm. I mean, we move around doing our, you know, we're energetic performers. But in terms of like sport, we're not classic sporty people.
No, definitely at school, I was one of those kids who hated sport and was picked late last for all the teams. I think I presented out a Veruca for 2 years just to get out of sport. I mean, it was just, it was awful.
Yeah, I was always picked last and also always came last in the racing and the running. I'm not built for speed and I'm not a fast runner either.
What position were you in netball?
Gay. Goalkeeper, GK, which is the classic fat girl position.
See, I was wing defence, which is the rubbish skinny girl position.
Nobody, that's like, whatever.
Yeah,
just... Be there or not be there, just, it doesn't... Yeah. Wing defence doesn't count. It doesn't count.
You're basically a bollard, you're just a bollard. Yeah. It doesn't matter if
you move.
It's
just an extra number, really.
Yeah. It's just like, fine.
No, so. I occasionally would be goal defence if someone a lot fitter and thinner than me was not playing that day, but basically GK, I was solid. I was like a wall, basically. That was my key skill.
It's a just wall and a spindly bollard.
Yes, a long arm. But and so you know, when it's far away, the marathon doesn't seem so scary, right?
Yes.
Because they're all quite light jogs. And quite early on, we got in touch with a woman called Elkie Mace, who is a marathon coach and just happened to be a mum in our local area, and said, "We don't know what we're doing, Elkie." And we met her in the park and she watched us run.
Mm.
Like you know, and I was quite nervous. Were you?
I don't remember being nervous. I was interested to see what she thought, really. I love being analysed. I love people looking at me and talking about me, basically. So it's about me. So I enjoyed it.
No, I was a bit nervous because I think all those sort of feelings about, you know, not doing it right. And so because our approaches to the marathon, even though we did the same race at the same time, not for the same length, but our approaches have been quite different, haven't they? Well, in a way, because I think that's been good because we've been training for the same event, but we've both got different personalities, different body types, different speeds, and all that sort of stuff. But we did the same thing, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and I think it's that thing we've talked about before of you have to work out what works for you. So what works for me is the app, because I like having a thing that I've committed to doing, and I've got to do that 3 times a week or whatever it is.
Mm.
So I not only did the Couch to 5K app, I ended up doing 5K to 10K app and then 10K to half marathon. And then, yeah, and then for this real serious marathon business, we had Elkie, and also I had my mate Skip, who's a trainer, who is hilarious. And mainly just, he's got a little, go to getfitwithskip.co.uk if you want to check him out, but he's got a little gym in his garage. And what's nice about that is it's his gym, but it's our little space.
Yeah.
And so I can put on whatever music I like. So often we'd have a lot of UK garage in the garage, and I'd just be like,
love it,
pumping iron to the sounds of, you know, DJ Luck and MC Neat. And it was some of the happiest hours of my life.
But you met Skip because you were both in the same NCT class. And I think that's really funny that you've met just because you happen to have sons at the same time. But now he's like your little guru.
Yeah,
he's like
exactly.
Your little, you know, and do you now hear his voice in your head, like sometimes as like, because I have a different voices going through my head about when I was like going through the marathon and things like that. Did he were there particular key phrases that he would say to you to
go on, girl? There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. That's you awesome. Can do it. That's yes. I think there was definitely a bit of that. We did quite a lot of work on mental strength, and his whole thing is, you know, he's like, look, anyone can run a marathon. He's done 4 of the fuckers, so he would know.
Mm.
But so I think that was good. And you had Suzanne as well.
Yeah, I had Suzanne, who's been on this podcast actually, from a all female gym called Fitology. And so I think it was over a year ago in July, she emailed me and said, "Oh, do you want to come and lift some heavy weights?"
Mm.
And I didn't realise how important our relationship would be in that she got me stronger. But it was, again, it was about the mental thing, about, no, you can do shit like this, Helen. You can. Mm. And she's got me stronger. And her wife, Amber, has been my nutrition coach. And I've lost 2 stone just going, you know, just, well, eating less. Who knew? But also sleeping more. And Amber's done marathons and all that sort of stuff. So I did a bit of that. And even just, and I didn't kind of set out to lose lots of weight or anything, but it just sort of happened. And that made me a bit faster and things like that. But all of that has been a confidence thing as well.
Mm.
Just little incremental kind of things about getting a bit better and a bit faster and, you know, all that sort of stuff has been good, because I didn't think I could
I remember you saying to me, I can't go any faster. And I'm sort of going, how you can get faster?
I, you know, Elkin put down intervals, but I didn't do them.
Doing them. But again, it was like, well, that I never, you know, that's up to you, isn't it? I was like, well, that's up to her. And if you don't want to go faster as a goal, I had to, one of my goals has always been to go faster, but I had to adjust it and let go of that because I had knee injuries.
Mm.
And the reality, and it happened 3 times when my knee sort of exploded, and I had to go, right, I've got a choice, either do this marathon or I don't do it. The choice of doing it as fast as I want to do it is no longer an option, because if I run that fast, that much, which you have to do to get that time, I'll blow up my fucking knee. And I was like, well, this is where we are. And that was really hard.
That's a really hard thing, because it's like saying, yeah, you're not allowed to do comedy anymore, or you're not allowed to do something that you really want to do.
Mm.
But I think that's one of the things that we're quite good at, because, you know, you and I have both had really shitty things happen to us.
Mm.
And I think, you know, you had with the premature baby, you know, that choice of like having a full-term baby or the birth that you wanted or all the things that you wanted for that thing got taken away, and you had to wake up every morning and go, well, no, this is the situation we're in.
Yes. Do you know what? I saw a really good quote yesterday and I thought of you and I nearly sent it to you, but I didn't. A, because WhatsApp was down anyway, and B, because we don't send each other motivational quotes because we're wankers. But I did log it in my brain to tell you about it, and it was it was something like, don't tell me that this traumatic thing that happened to me made me stronger. I should have fucking screenshot it. It said like, I didn't want that traumatic event to happen. It gave me feelings that I didn't like, I didn't enjoy it, you know. Don't tell me that it made me stronger. I made me stronger. And I was like,
oh yes, I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Put that on my fucking arm. Yes.
And I thought, that's it, isn't it? Because when you say that event made you stronger, it's kind of like you're kind of saying to someone, oh, I'm glad that awful thing happened to you.
Thank God my arm was cut off.
To be like this person. But actually, no, it's about the power, isn't it? It's about saying, you know, a terrible thing happened to you and you used it to get stronger, not that you survived it and that was it.
No, and it's like when people say, oh, you know, the divorce is the best thing that happened to you. No, it was a terrible thing that happened to me, but then what came from that is I made choices to make me better. I made a choice to get fitter. I made a choice to be happier and things like that.
Yes, you've got a very happy life now, and I know it's happier than the life you had when you were married.
Yes,
because I've lived both lives with you.
Yes, you have.
So I know that.
Yeah.
But I don't think, you know, you could. I still wish that you had got to the point where you are now without having been betrayed so awfully and had to go through such a traumatic experience to get through this point. I wish people had had more guts to put things on the table and do things in a grown up way. What I'm getting at.
Yeah, anyway. Exactly right. And all this life was still available to me, but I've made those choices to get to those point. And again, this is the weird thing about running a marathon or doing anything big and hard, is that every day we had to make a choice to run, especially in the last 3 or 4 months when we've been on holiday or it's hot or we've got school holidays and Pete's had to look after the kids or I've had to get babysitters so I can do the run. Like, all those sort of things are big old commitments, and it would have been easier. There were times where we both ran past pubs on nice sunny Sundays and we haven't drunk. You haven't drunk in the last month. I had a few emergency wines.
Look, again, everyone's different. You know, you've got to do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's been interesting. I found the first 2 weeks of not drinking really quite challenging in terms of like, I really want to fucking drink is what I'm saying. But then after that, something sort of switched. And I think as I went to a 40th or 50th birthday party and didn't have a drink and still had a nice time and did not feel shit the next day. And that's, I don't know, the next day I just thought, oh, I've got through that. I can, and then it sort of got easier. And don't worry, this is not me about to go, and so I'm never drinking again.
Oh my God, I love being vegan.
Because I really like drinking. I like the taste of wine as well.
You're very good at it as well.
Very, 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 very good. Very,
it's one of your key kind of skills, I found.
Yeah. But I definitely, it's showing me that I was drinking too much and that I can get out of the habit. And I had got something in my brain saying, oh, you always drink when you see this person or when on this occasion or for this reason or for this. And really, a lot of those are sort of excuses.
Yeah.
And I've come to realise that. So fingers crossed, the drinking is going to be more moderate. Apart from when it's our birthday lunch.
I was going to say, yes.
Yeah, no, that's a fucking tear up. That's an absolute smash.
No. That just put a big red X through health that day.
Absolutely.
Health will not win that day.
Let's
Gibbo.
Get the champagne on ice right now.
It's kind of nice that the marathon happened on the 3rd of October and not the 30th, because I love this birthday month. It's great. There's a half term, there's like Halloween, it's your birthday, there's my birthday.
Oh, it's good times.
It's celebration time.
Yeah. Let's talk about the actual day then, because I don't know about you, the actual day of the marathon, it really was one of the most amazing days of my life. I remember talking to Jenny Falconer, TV's Jenny Falconer, about it a couple of years ago, and she said it was the best day of her life to me. And I said, what better than having kids? And she said, yes. I don't know if I'd go that far, to be honest, but because it's different. It's different. And, you know, the day I had Joe actually was one of the best and worst days of my life, again, for reasons which we've discussed. But it was an experience like nothing else. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And because there was so much hard work behind it, and because it was about me. It wasn't about, you know, I wasn't giving birth to someone. I wasn't marrying someone. I wasn't giving to anyone else. I mean, we've raised lots of money for charities, but it was all just down to me putting one foot in front of the other and getting to the finish line. And that's such a rare thing to do as a woman and as a person my age and all those sort of things. And it felt like such a joy, but also it was in the city I love. It was this incredible event where for 6 hours, people cheered my name and wanted me to do well. There was such a beautiful atmosphere there as well. And I just wanted to kind of drink it all in every single second of it. It felt great, and great just occasionally just, you know, going side to side and just looking at all the different body shapes and ages and backgrounds and everyone trying to do their best on the day, and people encouraging each other as they're going through and all the stories. Oh, God, it was magnificent.
Yeah, it was amazing. And there was, for me, as someone who's lived in London all my life, there was something about it being in London and starting in southeast London, where I'm from. You know, the walk up to the actual start was through Blackheath Village, where my friend Nurse Jessie, who I've known all my life, you know, she used to live there, and I walked past what used to be a Pizza Express and remembered a meal we had there when I was about 10, and just all funny things like that. And then running around like the Cutty Sark and the pub we used to go to when we were 15 illegally. And again, all through the rest of London, or that's where I had that job interview, or that's where I went on a date with someone. It was a bit like This Is Your Life, which I enjoyed. And then weird things, like I know you saw him as well. At one point, I ran past the MC from the stand-up gig where you and I met.
Bob Walshy Walsh.
And he didn't recognise me or see me even, I think.
No.
But I was like, is that Bob? I was like, am I hallucinating?
I felt the same.
It was weird.
He was standing quite... He was standing with no one else around him, like an episode of Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Like he'd come from another universe.
I was like, have I died? And am I going to see all the characters from my life? Like, am I going to see my great-granddad? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
It was weird.
Oh, my God, that was beautiful. Because, we go... And often in the training runs, my training route would always take me past the pizza bus where we met. And I'd be like, that gave me a little boost, because I'd be like, oh, wow, look how far. I made that one decision that time to do that gig, which changed my life. Meeting you that time, because I was breastfeeding a toddler, and I went, I need to book a comedy gig. I haven't done comedy for ages. I made that decision for myself, and then I met you, and that changed my life. And you know, and then I was like making this decision to do the marathon, and I think that has changed my life. I think there's it gives you something like, no, you can do a really hard thing. You can work really hard towards something. And sometimes I have a great fear of that. Like, I, you know, that I'm going to fail, and so I don't try too hard at something, and then it doesn't matter if I don't do it well. You know, I'm quite messy, and I kind of fear perfection, you know, doing things really beautifully or perfectly, because then I know it's okay. But I'm glad I did this, because it sort of showed that I could do the really hard shit.
And again, I think because we're different, we've taken different things from it. So historically, I know you don't like to set a challenge. Whereas I like a challenge, but then I have to do it perfectly, and I have to do it exactly right, and I have to do it really well.
And you're very hard on yourself sometimes, Ellie.
That's why I'm hugely successful. But with this, like I was saying, I had to accept that I wasn't going to do it in exactly the way to exactly the standard I would like to do it. And that's. I'm struggling to say that's not a failure, because there's a bit of me that still feels like that's a failure. But actually, does it feel like a failure? Is that true? No, it doesn't actually, because I feel like I still did it. So, but I've had to learn to reframe my standards, to lower my standards. But that's healthy. I think that's mentally healthy.
But also that's almost like the evolution of our friendship, in a way that I feel like I'm always learning things from you. Even today, I learned how to pronounce
Gillingham.
Gillingham.
This is what I'm saying. I've pulled you up and you've dragged me down. And now we've reached a happy equilibrium.
That's right.
No, but genuinely, we're both happier for it.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. But yeah, so my marathon, as was to be expected, was a different kind of thing. And you know, I felt really jolly most of the time. I just sort of smiled a lot, and I hugged. I stopped and hugged lots of people I knew. Just to be clear, not just anyone. But there were lots of podcast fans out there and people who follow us on Instagram going, "Come on, Helen, come on!" And that, oh god, that there were times where I had to hold back the tears. I was like, yes. "Don't cry, you stupid bitch. You're gonna ruin it." Because I knew if I started crying, I wouldn't stop. I nearly cried when I saw my children at mile 18, and that was really beautiful. But God, it was just was extraordinary, wasn't it?
It was the first sort of 3 hours, maybe 20 miles. I could not keep the smile off my face. I just could feel myself beaming. And the moments like going around the Cutty Circle, going across Tower Bridge.
Tower Bridge was sensational. The sun was shining, and the noise kept getting louder and louder. It was beautiful.
Yeah, and just seeing London and just, you know, and as you know, when we're in the van, whenever we cross the river, we have to shout London, and take a moment to appreciate London. It's
did you say
tradition.
That?
I did. Of course, I did.
Oh, really? London! Yes,
I've never felt better, and there's nothing like it. It was absolutely amazing. And then it did start to go wrong.
What? Talk us through the incident, Ellie, as you would say. So the first 3 hours, lovely times, jogging along. You saw Pete and Jessie and the kids.
Yeah.
You saw your father.
And I was on pace, as Elkie said when she looked at my times. She said it was metronomic. I was absolutely perfectionist to the minute.
I know people were following you, going, Ellie was a good hour in front of you, Helen.
Yeah, and then... And I was eating my gels on time. And then this is the mistake I made. I felt a little bit funny, but I was like, no, I've got to keep eating sugar, right?
I'm going to
hit the wall. You don't want to hit the wall.
No, you're doing all the things they said in the tin.
Yeah. So I forced another gel down me. And then a bit after that, I suddenly went, oh no. And again, I hadn't hit the wall. My legs were fine.
I was like,
no, I'm going to have to stop, not because I'm tired, but because I need to vomit. So, I mean, it's highs and lows, isn't it? One minute, people are shouting your name as you're running across Tower Bridge. The next minute, you're literally doubled over in the street with the same people going, are you okay? But what was worrying, it was water as well. It was all the water I'd drunk. And I was like, oh, this is not good.
Water's good for running. Water is very good for running. Oh, dear darling.
But I picked myself up and carried on running. And then a few miles later, I don't even know, it happened again. And then I was like, oh no, now I'm in real trouble. So then I had to do it. And I just remember, I had to keep stopping basically and throwing up. And I remember getting to the last 5K. So I was on the embankment, and by chance, Pete and Jessie and my kids were crossing the road. They thought they'd miss me. The data on the app was wrong. They thought they'd miss me. And they were heading, I think, to the pub or wherever we were going. And they happened to be crossing the road as I ran past them. So I practically ran into Pete's arms.
Wow.
And they went, you're doing great. And I went, I've been sick a lot. And then promptly threw up on the ground.
Oh my God.
And the poor kid, and I felt awful for the poor kids. And I remember thinking as I was vomiting, this is going to be quite potentially frightening for the children.
Yeah.
And I can't not be sick. It's a biological process, but I'm going to have to fucking pick myself up. So I vomited, and the St John's people were like, do you want to just cancel it? And I was like, no. And I got up and I gave him a big smile and I went, see you later, and ran off at my fastest pace going, oh my God, I'm going to die.
What? But you did that. That is the correct thing to do.
I made myself run that last few K, just saying, you need to know mentally at the end of this that you ran to the end and you did it despite that, and I fucking did it. So I'm proud of myself.
5 hours and 20, that's a hugely fast time. It's a really brilliant time. You should be incredibly proud of yourself.
And it's also only 20 minutes more than I planned to do it in, and I know for a fact those 20 minutes were me just vomiting. They weren't me just walking. So that's,
you know, I think you should readjust your time on Strava personally.
Minus vomiting. 4:59. Yes.
Oh, you poor darling. But fucking you did it. And also, in Gibson style, you did it in a hardcore way and you just showed how fucking tough you are as well.
Well, and it wouldn't be my choice to do it
exactly.
To be honest. Again, it's the thing of I wouldn't have chosen that. But yeah. Yes, I got through it. But you did amazing. Oh,
it was, do you know what? You know, at the start, I had to really slow myself down because I thought, oh, I could just feel the buzz of it. And there was a wind behind me at one stage and there was and I was like, no, slow down, you bugger. Just slow down. And for the first 5 miles, I ran with M Campbell, who's called Limitless M on Instagram, and the lovely Carrie Hope Fletcher. And then then I decided to go on by myself. And I'd run the half marathon with Carrie, and that was really lovely. But a couple of weeks beforehand, because I was going to originally run with them the whole way, I spoke to my trainer and they were like, you know, this is a really big thing, Helen. Do you want to run the marathon with someone? Or, you know, you've been through so much. Your body's been through so much. You've been through so much. You know, run your own race. And you know, I really enjoyed it. And one of the things I found, I was a little bit hesitant as well, and I've talked to you about this in the weeks leading up, about having someone at the end, because I know you had Pete and Jesse, and I felt I got a real wobble. I thought, oh, I don't have a boyfriend, or I don't, and I thought, no, you've got everyone who loves you around. And so a couple of weeks beforehand, my brother Hugh and his wife said, the kids can stay with us the night before, you know, I'm free all weekend, I'm just here for you. And that made me want to have a cry.
Aww.
It was a really lovely thing. But yeah, so, but on the day, I just sort of jogged around, smiled at people, really enjoyed it. And about 8K before the end, my legs started to hurt a bit. And I put my headphones on, put my jolly music on, the music I've been training with for 2 years, which was basically Bee Gees and Kylie. And I put that on and I just put my sort of head down and I was like, you can do this. And I had like, I kept saying to myself, well done, darling. You can do it. You're doing really well. And like spoke to myself like I would be comforting a friend, like a complete dork. But I found that really good. And then, I came round past Buckingham Palace, you know, very, very...
I gave it the finger.
Did you? Oh, my God. You hate the royals.
The monarchy.
I
gave it the finger.
Oh, I adore them. So I was like, oh, hello, Liz. Hi, see you soon.
Hello, Prince Andrew.
Hello. Yes.
You're not in prison yet, are you? Oh, strange.
Oh, I loved them all. Not him.
Oh, really?
No, not him. No, not him. No, not all of them. The sun was shining at that point, and and then a Rubik's Cube passed me, and I was like, that's okay. Then a dinosaur passed me. Cool. they were playing as I finished the line, Walking on Sunshine.
Oh, lovely.
And I put my hands in the air and then the media people went, oh, Helen Thorpe, we've been waiting for you. And that was nice.
Anyway. That's nice. Whereas they were waiting for me as well. And this was amazing. So I crossed the finish line.
Yep.
Again, vomitous. Just absolutely vomitous.
Exorcist style.
And they were like, we've got to get your shoe, because we had special shoe tags on. Your shoe tag on. And I was like, okay. And she was like, oh, let me do it for you. And I was like, too fucked to even say no, and I was like, okay, thanks. And
you probably spewed on your shoe as well.
She was very lovely Leanne. And then as she was doing it, I was like, no, I'm gonna be sick. And I basically ended up on all fours,
lovely,
with this poor PR lady,
like you were giving birth,
touching my shoes like I was giving birth. And then I got up and they were like, are you all right to do an interview on camera? And I was like, okay. And I went over and gamely started talking to the man, and he was all like, and you know, how are you feeling? And I was like, well, not nauseous, but also elated. And it went on for a few minutes, and he was like, so when did the podcast start or something? And I went, yeah, I'm really sorry. And just started retching on camera. On the ground.
Sorry, I'm not laughing. I'm laughing.
No, you can laugh. Oh, it's hilarious. Please
laugh.
Oh my god. Please laugh.
Oh my god. I hope someone
and
saved
I just,
that.
I managed to stand up and go, you probably just leave that in. Just leave that in. And he was like, I said, yeah, I'm gonna need a minute. And he was like, yeah, no, absolutely. And then I turned away to do more vomiting, and I heard him say to the crew, I think we'll just have to do that again. And I was like, fucking hell.
No, guys. I'm dying now. Yeah. I'm dying.
So then I was they moved me. They kept saying, oh, let's move you out of the sunlight. And I was like, I'm all right. The sun's keeping me warm. I've just run a marathon. And then I realised that I was embarrassing them because I was retching outside the press tent and they wanted me to move behind it so people could see my wretched.
Oh my god.
And I was like, oh bless you, you could have just said, get out of the fucking way, you disgusting bitch.
Yeah, you'd look really good after, over that tree over there. Yeah. Go over there, Ellie Gibson. Oh, you poor darling.
And then, oh, and then do you remember we didn't have our bag numbers for some reason? We didn't. So that, and at that point, I'm not going to lie, that was a low point. I was like, I can't even get my bag with my jumper.
I was delirious.
This is bad.
Yeah.
And ended up ended up sort of wandering around like a loon looking for my bag and not being able to find it. Ended up in a wheelchair being wheeled to the medical tent where I did some more retching. And this lovely lawyer volunteer called Jenny looked after me and was amazing. Mm. And she was being so nice. And she was going, maybe you should try and drink some Lucozade. And I was like, no, I can't drink anything. I can't. And then this doctor walked past me and went, yes, you need to drink some Lucozade. And I was like, no, I can't. I'll be sick. And she went, no, you're being sick because you're hypoglycemic. You've got low blood sugar. You need to drink some Lucozade now. And I went, okay, mum. And just next summer, guess what? I stopped vomiting. These fucking doctors... I tell you, I gave the NHS a fucking miracle. Clap that day, mate.
Oh, my God.
And then I met you.
Yes, and then I came, and then we both were in a sort of daze, and we weren't quite sure whether we should go to the pub or not, but then Pete called.
Oh, it's fine.
And then we went to the pub, and then saw your father, and he was so proud of you.
Yes, I'm proud.
So proud of you. Oh, he was elated. And, like, he is... you know, of you every single day. Like when you get off the stage, he's like, oh, it's great, Ellie, it's great. And Jesse handed me some cheese wrapped in Parma ham and I could not have been happier. I do have to say, though, before we started the marathon, sorry to go back, we were in, like, the media tent. Can we just quickly paint the scene before we wrap up this finally? But who was there, Ellie?
Oh, first of all, Dr. Rongan Chatterjee was there. And he's
one of my heroes.
Love him. Huge fan of his podcast. And I've listened to loads of them during my long training runs.
Yes.
So it was kind of weird and amazing to see... the actual man in real life,
I listened to his beautiful one about the marathon. It was gorgeous, but it was a galaxy of stars. It was him, who else? And tell me about the guy that I didn't know about.
Peter Duncan off of Blue Peter.
Unbelievably lovely.
He was amazing. But the low point, I'm going to say, of the entire day, Helen, was that Matt Hancock was there.
Yes.
And I'm pretty convinced that the memory, a flashback to seeing him in the media tent and then queuing for the toilets outside the media tent, I'm pretty sure that's what set me off with the vomiting the first
instance. I blame him entirely.
Yeah, I blame him for a lot of things.
Yeah, I don't know why Matt Hancock had to be there, but he was. He ruined a vibe for a little bit. I had to mention that because Rongan was a highlight and then Hancock not so much.
Yes but the whole thing was an amazing experience. And having said that, I never want to do it again.
No, I think once is enough. That's sort of my theory,
and I really don't want to put anyone from doing it, because it is amazing. It is like nothing I've ever done.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't done it, I would do it again. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. And I had a marvellous time, but I don't need to do it again either. That is done. And I just really want to enjoy 10Ks and 5Ks and half marathons, because I do love getting the medal.
Yeah, I like the medals.
And a new polyester t-shirt. Bring it in.
And the thing, and I like the lifestyle changes that it sort of not forces you into, but gives you motivation to do. I like that I'm drinking less. I like that I'm exercising more. I feel better for those things, the bottom line. So today I have signed up for another 4 10Ks, November, December, January, so 3 10Ks, and then a half marathon in February, because I don't want this to be a thing where I just did the marathon and then I stopped running because it was done. I want running to be part of my life now. I just don't want running 26 miles to be part of my life, because that is quite a big commitment, turns out.
Yeah, and I have told my children now that Sunday is fun day, because because as a single parent, I've had to get people to look after my children. And I've, you know, some days that was for 5 hours, and that's a big chunk of my weekend with them. So I've said, look, and I'll do more running in the mornings or when they're at school, now that it's a shorter time. So I want to spend a bit more time with them on the weekend. So it's a big old chunk of time. You can do it, but it takes a lot of time. And I've loved all the support we've got on Instagram and through the podcast and online. All those things have really helped us, especially on the shit run days when the legs don't work or, yeah.
Yeah, we cannot thank you all enough for the messages of support and also the donations. Our original target was to raise $5,000. We ended up raising 10. So I think it's nearly at 15 now.
Yeah. We got some big donations, especially from EA. You did a 12-hour fucking
video games
marathon. Yeah. And then the lovely people at Hot Squash gave us some gorgeous jumpsuits and donated £400.
Yes, and thank you to Electronic Arts, who gave us a whopping £1,000, Helen. Unbelievable scenes. And all the gamers who came, because I did that 12-hour games marathon.
Others wouldn't do that, Ellie, but you did.
I'm a real legend. But the people who came not only gave money, but like just came and kind of sat there and sat on the stream and had bants with me and kept me...
On your Twitcher.
Yeah, on my Twitcher. Emily and Jonas Reed and Sammy, my mods, who stuck around for the whole bloody banana in case of any loons. And it was amazing. My faith in humanity has been restored.
Yeah, I liked people a lot more after Sunday. I thought, you know, there were all sorts of people out and about, and I needed that, I think. Yeah. It was a really beautiful thing to see. London's pretty fucking awesome when that comes together. So that was great. And now I walk like a rusty robot. I had a lovely massage today with my masseur Suki, and she got deep into my bottom and my thighs. So that was very nice.
Oh, I had a massage down the gym yesterday. Never had this before. Have you had this? Heated massage table.
Fuck me. Bring it in.
Oh, so I'd warm, she'd warm the oil really boobs. Nicely as well. So I'd warm front and then warm. I felt like the Ready Breck man.
Oh,
it was wonderful. Wonderful.
I'm very pleased. And we will stop talking about it, but fucking hell, you're 43, I'm 42. We did a big thing.
Yeah, you had to get our age difference in there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
How weird it is, though, that despite that age gap, people still think that I'm your daughter.
Do you know what? It's almost a year to the day that I had my fucking eye surgery, that I had a big puffy eye, and the lovely nurse went, "So lovely that your daughter's here." I think we should recreate it with an eye patch. I think we do that every year.
Yeah.
And God, it's lovely.
Or I liked it at the hotel the other day where he went, "And here's your room keys,
Miss Gibson.
And I'm going to presume Mrs. Thorne."
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm Mrs. Slocum and you are Polly. I wouldn't change a thing. No. I just think it was just a fantastic thing to do.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Have you got a marathon-related scummy confession? I've got one.
Go
if
on.
You like. So as I've talked about before on the podcast, I do let my children watch Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay, complete with the swears.
Mm.
And we saw this lovely idea, didn't we? Anna the Runner sent us this idea from a sports psychologist called Josephine Perry, I think her name is. Anyway, the idea is you get your loved ones to write sticky labels and you stick those on your gels.
Yeah.
So that when you're running the marathon, you have a little nice message of support.
Mm.
And I thought this was an amazing idea. So my lovely loved ones did do that. So I had messages from my mum and from Inga and from Pete. And I didn't read them before the thing. Aww. So that when I was going around, I'd have a little surprise and something to look forward to.
Oh, that's nice. Like a fortune cookie.
Yeah. And yes. I'd like kiss the little gel and like, I was giving the person a kiss. It was all very sweet. Aww. Anyway. And I pulled one out from my son, Charlie, and it said, Gordon Ramsay talking about Ellie running the marathon. This woman is fucking fast.
Oh, my God, that's delightful.
And bless him, he'd starred out fucking. So that I wouldn't be cross with him for swearing.
That is so, so good.
I enjoyed that very much, yes.
Oh, that's awesome. I put too much Vaseline on my asshole beforehand, and it was
Wait, quite a marathon this
year. Yeah,
all
right, yeah, no, checking. Not yeah. Because you know, I had that nice date night Friday night. Yeah. I had a nice Italian over who made me carbonara.
And I thought you were going to say something else. C for a minute.
Oh yeah, that was nice.
Made me carbonara so hard.
Yeah. Oh, that was lovely. But I did have a glass of wine on Friday night. That's my confession. Is that bad?
What is a glass of wine 2 days before the marathon? I think that's all right.
Yeah.
You still did the fucking marathons. What difference does it make?
No, exactly right. I did have some fantastic sex. That was a lovely thing. I think that helped, actually. I feel more relaxed. Probably. Yeah, someone said give yourself a few orgasms the day before. That helps. And wine gums.
Is it footballers are not supposed to have sex before
boys football? Someone said boys shouldn't wank beforehand, but girls just go at it.
Well,
have a good one.
I mean, if you need a fucking reason, go for your life.
Yeah, have a few of those. But yes, I went a bit heavy-handed on the Vaseline, so I felt a bit squidgy bum. But I think it was all right. It was all right. But yes, that was my thing. Didn't. But yeah. Anyway,
Mum. Well, let's leave the listener with that of your greasy ring piece.
Maybe that helped me run faster because everything was kind of lubed up so nicely.
Were you not worried, you know, you'd lose torsion and you know, something?
No, I didn't do a poop on the course. I did tiny wee.
I did see some lovely signs on the marathon that I thought, surely only it's the British marathon that these could be on. Like, you've left the iron on. That was a good one.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And no fart is a safe fart after 20 miles. But a lovely, encouraging, motivational quote. Well, there we go. So thank you for listening to this, if you're still with us. And I promise, well, I can't promise. We'll do our best not to go on about the marathon, won't
we? If someone asks, it would be impolite not to talk
rude.
About it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we're not those guys. But again, thank you for being part of this, because we couldn't have done it without everyone's support, really.
Yes, we literally couldn't. Thank you for everything, everyone who supported us. And thank you, Helen Ford, for being an inspiration. And, you know.
Oh, that's a lovely thing to say, Ellie.
Thanks for doing it.
I just think you're brilliant. And your commitment is unbelievable, and you impress me every day with how amazing you were. And you got back up, you had sore fucking knees, you went hard at it. I just think you're incredible, and you can do anything.
Well,
I
mean, so can you.
Not everything, but like something. Everything. You can do a lot of things.
I'm trying to think of something I can't do now. I can't think of anything. Can't think of anything you can't do either.
No. But you, the things that you do really well.
Sometimes. Most depends. No, I'm very proud of us. It was loads of bloody work.
Yeah.
But we done it, mate.
We're marathon runners.
I know. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and thanks again for all your messages, all your donations. Honestly, it means such a lot.
Yeah.
And yes, and we're gonna go upstairs now and, you know, kiss our medals with our greasy bumholes.
Still not sure if I've pooed my pants or not, but look, it's fine. It wipes clear, very easily.
And shiny.
Oh my God! Normal service will resume.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much, everyone.
Bye bye.
Bye.
What a fucking year, man!
Fucking hell!
Jesus, what are we going to do next year?
Ooh, Everest?
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
So it's only 1 in 10 chance of dying, I think.
That's not going to be us.
It's not. Let's never do that.
No, I don't want to.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.